Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Thursday, April 4th, 2024.
Yellow Tie Thursday.
Yellow Tie Thursday. Is that a thing? I don't know. Yeah, here it is right here. See it? It's got little stripes in there. You can't really see it because of the... Or big stripes because of the lights. But anyway, I want to welcome everyone to today's show. Going to have a great show. Have a great show lined up for you, actually. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com is with me. Just a tremendous man. Just a good brother. I love the guy. And he really put this together. He put this show together. This is his creation, this show. And the title for today's show, The Gates of Hell Are Exploding Open As Global Mayhem Accelerates. Now, you may think that pause was unintentional. It was intentional. Why? Because I've been reading a lot, just many things. And of course, Steve and I spoke about the U.S. In the past, the United States. There was a column in American Thinker talking about America being in it, asking the question, is America in its last stages? And talking about Yuri Bezmenov. And of course, Steve has mentioned him many times. But what a lot of people in America, I really think this, what a lot of people in America seem to do is focus only on America when we are looking at world or at the totality of events. And look, I'm guilty of that too. I think most Americans are. And even if you're in Canada, you look at what's going on in Canada. And only what's going on in Canada a lot of times. Not watching what's taking place in the Middle East, or China, Taiwan, Russia, Ukraine, and things like that. Unless it's brought to you, unless, of course, you make an effort to go look at the global picture. Well, that's what today's show is about. It's about the gates of hell exploding open as global mayhem accelerates. And again, I want to thank Steve for putting together this show. Go to stevequayle.com. That's stevequayle.com. Folks, if you haven't done so already, make sure you get a hold of whatever books he's got remaining. Okay. And by the way, you can buy more than one book. Okay. And he's got great book packages together. Go to stevequayle.com. Click on the appropriate link. And of course, for serious gold and silver investors, make sure you visit Renaissance Precious Metals. Again, the link is, I'd like to send everyone to stevequayle.com because everything is there. You can get to anywhere from there. So do that, stevequayle.com. So with that, I'm going to bring Steve right on. Steve, how are you, sir?
Well, good, Doug. And just to reiterate, there are no more openings for private briefings. It's closed now as officially the 31st. Those of you who have subscribed after, obviously, the month of April will continue to have access and renewals. We did that for a couple reasons. Number one, obviously, the world situation is becoming more problematic. Number two, I'm trying to tighten and rein in both the private briefing subscribers. Rein in means condense into one place so that the core, just like you have your core followers can get the most up to date and also emergency alerts. So private briefings is closed. Gold, ladies and gentlemen, is absolutely exploding.
Hand me that. Let me feel that. Come on.
There you go.
Man.
The point is that the crypto, can't doubt a lot of people make a lot of money, but the situation in crypto, it's dependent on the power, it's dependent on a lot of stuff, except for people that live outside the United States or happen to be in the Middle East right now, which we're going to cover. But my encouragement for people is to get the gold while they can and silver. Now, listen, here's what's going on in the background, Doug. We'll hit the biggest banks in the world. 1972, David Wilkerson had his vision. The vision was where the economic collapse would take place. Now, remember, everybody, that's almost 28 and 24 is what, 52 years ago? But he said it would start in Germany, it being the financial collapse of the global monetary system. Now, only God could have shown him that long ago. And by the way, having met him and been able to spend days with him when he did a crusade in Bozeman was one of the highlights of meeting someone who was extraordinary, humble, yet powerful in God, the man that they made the movie The Cross the Switchblade about. But I want everyone to understand something. It started in Germany, it being the financial collapse, spread to Japan, and then from Japan, within weeks, spread to the United States, and also Mexico goes down in that equation. So I'm being told behind the scenes, Doug, and everybody, I'm telling you this, it will be my last words, take everything to the Lord in prayer. Because a lot of you have dismissed a lot of the warnings over the years. Now, in essence, are finding out that just to prepare costs you double, triple, in some cases, quadruple. Price inflation is the end of the middle class. It's the destruction of the lower class. And what you're watching, everyone, is the beginning of the implementation of David Wilkerson's 1972 vision. And I think the book was called The Vision. He also had another one that was titled Set Thy Trumpet to the Mouth, or to your mouth. So in essence, Doug and I are sounding the trumpet. I've got my trumpet, by the way. I was going to use that to just draw attention to this. But the point is, that was sent by one of my listeners. He said, well, you're a watchman. You might as well blow the trumpet. And again, my brother who sent that to me, thank you. But the situation in Germany is perilous. They also are broke like the United States. But I want people to pay attention to these numbers. $147 trillion in derivatives. That's $147,000 billion. The problem is behind the scenes, the rumors are, and I'm going to say this, they're pretty well founded, that Deutsche Bank is already talking with some of the biggest law firms in the world. Look up how big Deutsche Bank is, and already having their bankruptcy petitions in place to trigger at a specific time. I obviously don't know the time. I also know that there's a complete shutdown of information on how many DB, Deutsche Bank senior execs are either, quote, committing suicide or being suicided. Now, that's kind of a big deal. So in this day and age, there's no truth. So truth will filter through and leak through many channels. And that's why some people, you know, if they don't see it in the scummy New York Times or any of the vomit broker, just one of the most hideous examples, anybody who still is watching mainstream media, reading their publications, all you have to see is who controls the entire media empires. And listen, these aren't people that love you unless you're an elitist, and they want you dead. So, Doug, what's happening is Deutsche Bank already is having rumored massive suicides. That in Japan, the BOJ, people that are familiar with Japanese culture, they have a real honor system. And because Deutsche Bank, obviously in Europe, obviously in Germany headquarters, and the Bank of Japan cross-collateralized, meaning they each bought each other's paper, created more debt on it, sold the debt, the biggest derivative pool in the world. So Japan for decades had what's called the yen carry trade, where people could borrow money. I mean, big people could borrow big money, and Japan would basically give it to them and expect it to be paid back, but with no interest. Carry trade. In other words, Japan carried the global trade based on the yen and the yen to other currency conversions. That's simplistic. But now we have a cascading series of events going on globally, which I don't know that I can come up with a better word than mayhem, outside a meltdown, outside a takedown, outside a takeover. But I think the ultimate word that we have to use is war on earth, W-A-R, war on earth, war in earth, war under the earth, coming upon the surface of the earth. And that's what Jesus said. You know, men's hearts will fail them. He didn't say everything I just said. Men's hearts will fail them for fear of looking after those things coming upon, the word U-P-O-N, upon the earth, because they've never seen it like this. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So the gates of hell are opening. So the financial situation, ladies and gentlemen, there's more gold being bought now, and last night it was $22,320, probably in the futures market. They'll play around $12, $20, even $50, maybe down. But what most people are failing to understand is that currencies lose purchasing power. Gold maintains purchasing power. You could have bought this, Doug, I think, what, 3-4 months ago for $1,900.
Yep.
And now it's 23. Now that's spot price. Most people don't understand this. Dealers have to buy gold from distributors. The distributors buy the gold from whoever mints it. For instance, U.S. gold is the United States mint, but they buy at a commission over. Dealers have to pay anywhere from 3% to 4% over. And that's not the margin. Then most dealers, you know, thank you, Eric. And I'm just going to ask you to show that. I want people to know, I got so frustrated with the linking to Kitco, because this is on our website. And what's important, you can run the cursor back and forth. I don't know, Eric, if this is a live image. Yeah, thank you. And if you go move down to where it says one day, 1D, and click that box, there you go. You can see where we're going. And the trend line, obviously, you can see, you can change every kind of parameter you want. But the gist of it is last night, gold was $2,320. The amount of gold being sold is being purchased by whales. I've been in the gold business a long time. $100,000 used to be a big sale to the distributors. The other day, today's Thursday, I think it was Tuesday, I called my distributor of so many years, Doug, and I said, wow, what kind of orders are you seeing? He said, this is weird. We're not seeing little orders. We're seeing big orders. I said, define big orders. He said, a million at a time. So people with big money, and we can't compete in that realm, but we can follow what the big guys do and know they are putting money into something of value that's increasing in value as opposed to decreasing in value. Now, the same thing. Silver's been the most controlled and manipulated market in the world. Still is, until that back is broken. I want people to recognize that everything will be based on value. And what's the ultimate value? The ultimate value is food. And again, excuse me, we're at this point where now every economic indicator that the government puts out is a lie. But I want everybody to understand this. The whole world lies in the evil one. The evil one is Lucifer. Obviously, that's what he prefers to be called on earth. That's why they prefer to call him, and they put the Lord in front of it. But it's not. It's not just Satan. Satan is the earthly name based on meaning adversary. But the point is that in heaven he was known as Lucifer. He demands, but Jesus calls him Satan, the adversary. So the change is pronounced if you understand the scripture. And Eric, we just put up what we were talking about. What is it, Isaiah 12:12? I think people need to see this at this point.
Revelation 12:12.
No. Isaiah. Oh, there you go. Yep. Okay. This is where we're at. Oh, let me just take a quick drink. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I'm going to change the has to have, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider. I can't read the word under the head. There you go. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Now listen to this. This is really important. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. I mean, they had a big funeral procession. But thou art cast out of the grave like an abominable branch, as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. So what most people, you know, try and rationalize, oh, that's not really, Lucifer's not Satan, and Satan's not, they're two separate beings, blah, 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 blah. Well, everyone's about ready, Doug, to see the fruits of hell being integrated into their lifestyle and disintegrating, that's a better word I'm looking for, the things that we have known. World War III is underway. World War III is in play. The situation is that the metals, everybody's fleeing the dollars. But here's the problem where, and this is critical, where most money used to go to gold and silver as a safe haven, now, let's say, I don't know what percent, but a major percent of it goes into cryptocurrency. And I've watched Coinbase, as most people who are invested in cryptos that watch this show, lock out the market, close it down when, for instance, Bitcoin hits the highest point. Have you noticed that, Doug?
You know what, Steve? No, because I'm not a big crypto fan. Maybe I'm totally out there. I don't know. But
no, you're not out there.
If I can't hold it in my hand, like that gold bar you had, I don't own it. And if it's just inconveniencing the electrons on my screen, like crypto is, then it can go away just as quickly as it arrived, in my view.
That's at my view, too. And here's the thing. Number one, ladies and gentlemen, it takes a lot of electrons, protons, and neutrons, and to fill a plate full of a steak to eat. But the point is that you can't eat. You know, they always say, you can't eat gold. You can't eat. I can, as I've said before, I can take any gold to Argentina, subject, of course, to declaring it, and I'm not going to Argentina. The point being is, as an example, you can go to a beef-heavy country, and you can eat a long time on an ounce of gold. You can eat a long time. A long time would be over a month, having the best meal you could, and now with the price of gold, it'd probably be 3 months. So value, Doug, and again, I'm the one that came up with a statement. This is history. If you can't hold it, you don't own it. For instance, people who have megabucks, whatever that is determined by whatever they have made or inherited, who are in a market such as the stocks or the bond market, the U.S. bond market is a disaster behind the scenes. I'm hearing stories, and it's as low as 20 cents on the dollar. And then the whales, the big whales, what are called sovereign wealth funds, and then the richest investor groups in the world, which are not who you think of. It's not the Rothschilds. It's not the Rockefellers. It's tiers above them. So they're controlling the gold and silver market because obviously when they drive the paper price down, of gold or silver, they can then go out and buy it. But they buy it by selling, and we've done it before, worthless pieces of paper, saying they're exchange-traded funds. Well, they're exchange-traded paper, and it's worth the paper it's written on. So if they sell $1 trillion worth of paper gold, people should do the basic math. Well, there's not that much gold mined this year. That's it. In essence, they can oversell gold that does not exist at a discount, people saying, well, you can get that gold in 2 years, and we'll pay you this percent or whatever. That's really an overview, fast overview of exchange-traded funds. But the point is they then take the money, they, the people that are issuing, whether it's a bank or an investment group or, you know, giant corporations, they then sell paper gold at a discount, which people pay current dollars for, take the current dollars that the people that are issuing the ETFs, and they go buy physical gold and physical silver, physical platinum. So that's what's going on in the market. And ladies and gentlemen, the whole world now is in an upheaval. This is why you're watching the globalists wanting to make war on Russia, because Russia has nationalism. It still is defending world normal values. I mean, it doesn't take Russians much to figure out that's a woman, that's a man, that's a man and a woman. God created a man and a woman. But see, the war, Doug, is on God, okay? The war is on God because he's our Luciferian, globalist, Satan-worshipping, blood-drinking, human-flesh-consuming earth puppets of some of the most hellish creatures ever created in the annals of pre-Adamic worlds and post-Adamic worlds. And Eric, if you would now, I want to just give people an understanding of something. Put up the White House, or what I call the slaughterhouse. And, you know, this, I'm sorry for the resolution. This is one of our images, but I had to send him a small version. Roger Stone was talking about the portals opening up over the White House. People are talking, and keep that up on the screen for a minute. People are talking, Eric, about all the strange phenomena, the weird phenomenon taking place in the White House. Even Melania Trump did not want to live in the White House. You can't see this, and I'll get a better image, and we'll put it up at another show maybe, but there's blood on the pillars. The reason I no longer refer to it as a White House is because of the innocent blood that is shared amongst some of the most gruesome individuals on the planet. What I'm saying specifically, a portal, a doorway to hell is opened over the slaughterhouse with some of the most heinous and disgusting human mind-bending things going on. So we have, Doug, become a nation of blood. The little orbs you see on around the snake basically are orbs. Orbs are entities. They can basically take on the form of a sphere of light, and then they can basically decloak and become whatever entity and whatever they look like at the time, because the Bible's very clear that Satan can appear as an angel of light. So this is where discernment comes in. Now, Eric, go to the picture of the Vatican's hall, and I want people to understand something. Take a look. Now, there's no way of getting away from this. You've got two reptilian eyes, you've got, in essence, the nose, and you've got the tongue that is the, this is literally the, I guess you'd say, the red carpet into the mouth of the snake. Now, why would anybody who can obviously see that, and I've brought people's attention to the iridescent nature of the eyes, and then the I should say this, almost alien-like creature tentacles, why would this be in anything at all related to the things of God? The answer is it wouldn't. And I want now, Eric, if we can, let's put up the next one, because I want people to understand this. Now, I'm not bashing Catholics. I am telling you the influence of the evil in this architectural monstrosity is beyond my ability to even begin to tell you all of the nuances of this creature. It is not Jesus coming out of this morass and mess. Again, this looks like a nightmare. And if you kind of take a look, you'll see skeletons. You'll see featured creatures. And so this, and obviously this is the previous pope, but what does this message convey? Okay, Doug, I don't know if you've seen this before.
No. Do we know, I mean, where did this come from? How long has this been there? Who in the hell designed this and why? How's that?
Yeah, the who, what, when, where, why. You know, there are. You can go on sites and find out. Excuse me, who the sculptor is, and you can find out what he was trying to portray. But in essence, it's a batch of BS because this is the most hideous manifestation of anything related to Christianity. And notice it's all coming up, okay? This is not the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and all who call the name of Jesus. This is a portrayal of, I would say this, the reptilian. When I say reptilian, most people don't understand that even the book of Genesis, you know, the creature that deceived Eve wasn't a snake that crawled like a giant boa constrictor in the Florida Everglades, which, by the way, they got huge ones now. The thing is that this was a bipedal, meaning it was a reptilian. All the oldest sculptures in the world, all the oldest portrayals portray a human-like being with reptilian face, exactly like what we showed on the thing over the White House. So in essence, that too. And what we're trying to share with people is this, that when Ephesians 6 talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, everything in Ephesians 6, no matter who tries to say it isn't, in the original language, in this case, Greek, and in this case, the Septuagint, the bottom line is that we're talking about things that are unseen, that are heavenly, and that the war is in the heavens, and it's being, transmitted to earth. So what we're talking about in today's show, ladies and gentlemen, the gates of hell have opened. It should be lost on no one that simultaneously and concurrently all over the world, all unintended hell, and it is hell, has broken loose. What is the end game? And I get kind of, I'm sorry, I'm discerning and irritated with writers who say, could we be ready for World War III? Will we, could we, maybe? If I hear any of those words, guess what? You know, this is scissors. Clip, they're gone. I won't put them on. Edit. If someone has the wherewithal, the intestinal fortitude, and they believe it, then they should stand by it. And so could we be, must we be, should, well, you know, yeah, all of the, what would you call those, excuses? But we're talking today about things that are really happening. All over the planet, Doug, the world is viewing portals opening up in the sky, spirals in the sky. One of the things in our GLIP project, which, you know, is slowed down due to all the issues have to deal with. Well, one of them's mine. I feel like I'm a juggler. And by the way, I can't do that. The only balls I juggle, unfortunately, sometimes I feel like are the ones that weren't meant to be in the air, but are, you know, a part of anatomy. That may be offensive to some people. But who is really concerned about what's coming down the world? Evangelifish are spineless Christians, like the ones that were silent when that entity, and I mean entity, that shell of a man possessed by whatever and whoever in the hierarchy of hell is possessing at the time, made his declaration against Jesus. Now he's denying he didn't, you know, to attribute the most, I would say this most mind-bending resurrection observance of Christians across the world and declared a national gay day, you know? Well, I think,
you know, his proclamation for that was 684 words, just the text, and his proclamation for Easter, recognizing the Christian day of resurrection, was 94 words. Just saying.
Well, quick and dirty math, that doesn't sound like a very high percentage, but it's the affront. You know, I got mad, and I'll be honest with you. And again, I went to the Lord and said, God, you know my deal. Give me the right heart, the wisdom of Solomon, the power of Elijah, and turn me loose. Well, guess what? I didn't get turned loose. I'm not kidding when I say that. The outrage against it, Doug, and correct me, maybe, and you guys, I'm so focused on what I'm doing right now, on our new film and on the world events, and my primary concern is with my private briefings, my Q filers, my personal podcasts, And to try and encapsulate everything that's going on, I got to be honest, Doug, I never thought I would openly say this, but there are days I get overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah.
Just overwhelmed. And it's just like the Glyph Project. No pun intended. It is the biggest undertaking of any archaeological or, I would say this, linguistic attempt that has ever been undertaken. Notice the time it's being undertaken. And I said, well, Lord, I just don't have the energy. And I know the scripture, excuse me, when, you know, when we're at our weakest, God is at his strongest. So what I'm having to do, Doug, personally, and this is why we're on today, is explain to people the gates of hell have opened. There is no more taboo. There is no more social firewalls. There are no more attempts to hide the global elitist, Satanist, Luciferian's desire to rid the planet of 95% of its population. And now we're hearing that there's a new swine flu that's going to break out, or a bird flu, or, you know, a monkey brain flu. That's one I just invented. You know, that's one that you don't have to look very far. The point is that we're being told this. These are gain-of-function, bioweaponized, how should I say this, bioweaponized viruses and bacteria, difference, to be released on the food resources of humanity globally, to kill off that much of the global humanity. And now with the nanobots and nanites in the messenger RNA. RNA is what carries the signals to the DNA to tell them what to do. In essence, we're worried about the Terminator. And, you know, I got one someplace next door. I think I should put it up behind me, the one that people saw at Branson. And by the way, that one isn't real. Somebody will probably give, well, I don't want to watch your show because it's not real. But anyway, I'll go on. The thing is that everyone thinks in a macro perspective on nanotech, Terminator robots, but they would never think on a basically micro scale. And then if that isn't, let's say this, shocking enough, in other words, little nanites running around your body and bloodstream, and then if that isn't damaging enough, and I mean genetically and everywhere else, imagine, ladies and gentlemen, that tied into smart dust. You can look up smart dust, where the chemtrail sprays, the geoengineering planes can just fly over an entire city, drop that stuff, and the dust on your windshield, on your car, if you leave your car out, or on your garden, or on this, that, or the other thing, you runners, joggers, you're breathing it in. Doug, the Luciferian elitists, with so much hatred towards the human race which God had created, which God made beautiful in the day of their creation, they plan to destroy every living creature, whether the magnificent lions like the ones behind me, elephant, everything, not just lions, tigers, and bears, everything that God created, and they're within reach of doing that. I got an email today, and the email was from somebody in that world. And he said, and he's a scientist. I am not. I'm a researcher, but I'm not, you know, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a degreed scientist, although I've tended in history to give history the third degree, fourth degree, and fifth degree as you dig for this, dig for that, and dig for the other thing. But one of the most important statements he made is, pretty soon, nothing you eat will be free of the nanites, okay? Nanites, nothing you eat. None of the air you breathe will be free of the nanites. None of the water you drink will be free of the nanites. I'm not saying this to scare everybody. It's what do you think? Now I'm going to ask you a question. Who in their, let's say this, well-researched minds or theologians or whatever would have ever thought that we would see the time we're seeing right now, when Jesus' words would be so literally poised that if God the Father didn't intervene with the days. There'd be no human flesh left alive, no animal flesh left alive, because that's where fallen man under the influence of Lucifer, the fallen angels and demons, that's where they brought us. And now we're at World War III. World War III has to happen in order for the false man of peace, the Antichrist, to come on the scene, claim to be God, and be worshipped. So, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are excited about the red heifer, there's a whole lot of Bible prophecy beyond the red heifer. Get excited about the resurrection. Get excited about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get caught up in the capture doctrine. The capture doctrine is this. Well, I won't see World War III because I'm supposed to be out of here. What happens if you're not? Doug, we were within, I mean, I'm serious when I'm going to say this. According to the people I know, they said we were in T-minus 30 for a couple hours last night. Why, my eyes always are packed with steamer trunks. T-minus 30, most people, well, that's 30 minutes. No, the weapons that are timed, these are solid fuel rockets that Iran has, that Russia has, that North Korea has, that China has, in the Middle East, T-minus 30 seconds and counting. Meaning, the minute the Ayatollah said launch, the minute Russia said launch, when I say said, obviously they'll send it by signals, that's how close it is. So 30 seconds, you know, I want people to understand that. And then in 2 minutes, in my math, Doug, that's, you know, that's not many 30-second segments, the major cities of NATO disappear. Tel Aviv will be no more. And I want to say something about this. Israel has now fulfilled the scripture's word that all the nations that have troubled themselves are basically surrounding. And I'm not going to make a statement. Here's my statement, my final statement on Israel, the Jews, this, that, the other thing, everybody arguing over everything. It's God's issue. It's God's issue. But it will be the trigger point and the flash point for events taking place. Now, let's talk about some details. This is important. I love cold, fresh water. I just love it. Although some days I think, I'm not sitting here hammering down vodka. No, I'm not sitting here, you know, drinking. I don't know the different brands.
I've never seen you with a drink, actually.
So. Yeah, well, and, you know, that's a marvelous thing about redemption. When God got a hold of me, he turned me from an alcoholic straight. When I say straight, this is a true statement. I lost my appetite. Of course, seeing Jesus, and I'm not apologizing to it, nor am I special, but seeing Jesus face to face, when he looks into your eyes and every cell in your body explodes with the love and forgiveness of Almighty God, tends to change one pretty dramatically. And, you know, the thing is, that didn't mean I didn't have bad habits. And I mean, I didn't have that, what I thought were bad habits. But over the years, God has said, you got to get rid of this, you got to get rid of that. But what's important is that we are now in a position, Doug, like no other time in history. And I want everybody to take this, Lord, in prayer and ask the Lord to show you how late it is. Because if you've not prepared, I don't know that you've got that much longer to prepare. So if we were T-minus 30 seconds, not minutes, that we were looking at, you know, the release of multiple intercontinental ballistic missiles against Israel, we were looking at the electromagnetic net of all GPS being shut down and communications in the Middle East, all the way from Turkey, all over the Middle East, then tell me, ladies and gentlemen, what happens to smart weapons when they can't connect with the brain or the central command of computers? Well, you know, take a piece of bread, put in the toast, turn the machine up, the toaster all the way, and you're going to get burnt bread, okay? Very simple. This is where we're at, even at this point, Doug, as you and I are doing this show today. It's that close.
Yeah. And just really quickly in history, briefly, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, a command was given by Russia, the military Russia, to a nuclear sub, a nuclear armed sub, off the coast of the U.S. to fire upon the U.S. One Russian officer stopped it. Okay, did not comply with the order. Because there was a whole backstory about not getting the messages. The sub didn't get the messages. It was one lone sub that did not get the message that things were calmed down. So if people don't think that this, think about 1962 versus today. I'm telling you, this, what you're saying, it's not a, it cannot be a far stretch for anyone to imagine. I guess I'm trying to, not that you need validation. I'm just trying to look, it's happened before, and it certainly, given the situation, could happen, would happen again today. Just saying.
Well, again, and the rumors are, and they're rumors, but here's the neat thing about truth. Truth will find its way out, and God will direct it, because people who see things, they're on Twitter now or X, they're on social media. But I want people to recognize something. Just because a nuclear bomb has not, I'm not trying to scare anybody. Look, I've spent my life, and at 72, I've spent the majority of my life warning people, teaching Bible prophecy. I got saved when I was, 22, I guess. No, not 22, when I was 20. Now, I'm trying to figure out how old I was, but the bottom line is that that's irrelevant. What's relevant, my age is irrelevant. What's relevant is the amount of data, information, acquaintances, contacts one builds over a lifetime. That's what our life is all about. When anybody watching this program, man, woman, child, remember, when you breathe your last breath, as surely I will, as surely most will, and I think everyone will, except the fallen angels who are praying around as humans, all of our lives at that point, all of our lives get condensed into our last breath. And a lot of people talk about, the last gasp of life. So when all these crazy fallen angel earth puppets are working towards your demise, Doug, my demise, our listeners' demise, I tend to get rather pissed off about it. And here's my favorite response. Not, well, there's not much I can do about it. Nameless coward, 1,955,000. Oh, you're just trying to scare me. Well, evidently your wet pants testify to the fact that, and I mean this a literal case, that you've got issues with fear that go beyond what I'm saying. Look, why would Jesus speak of hell? Why would Jesus speak of hell? Why do so many people want to deny hell? Because the Word of God tells me that God has placed within every man, that knowledge of the living God. Now, whether they want to serve him or not, that's free will. And so when you hear that this Rothschild's dead or this occultist is dead, and they openly worship Lucifer or whoever has worshipped Lucifer, a good example, David Rockefeller Sr., listen, it doesn't matter. George Bush Sr., 1,000 points of light, the New World Order, what did he say that? George Bush Sr. said New World Order, 280 times or something? Repetitious. But what's important is to understand, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a pistol. Those of you who are firearms aficionados, there's a difference between a set trigger and a general trigger. A set trigger means, Doug, that the amount of pull that it will take to release the firing pin against a cartridge to send the bullet down range, it's set. So basically, you're doing everything to get your target acquired, and then you set your trigger. You'll know them as a double trigger. The set trigger sets, and the set trigger is and this is where the term hair trigger comes in, is the slightest movement of your trigger finger is what allows the rifle to fire. Obviously, you don't want to carry pistols with set triggers. But what I'm telling everyone is the trigger is set. It's going to take the smallest, almost a breath on that trigger, and it's going to explode. So imagine, we are the nation, the United States, in conjunction with NATO. And again, I want to say this. I love my country that was. I hate what I see that is being done to our country, but the people never stood up, spoke up. Now, a lot of them did. A lot of those of you who are warriors, your brethren died. A lot of the people that are still veterans. Look, the hunt is on to kill veterans. Any of you who have combat experience, take this to the Lord in prayer if you know Jesus. You don't want to take it to the Lord in prayer because you don't want to know Jesus. I tell you, it's a really good time to get to know Jesus because that's why you get your phone calls and hang-ups. There is no such thing as a safe burner phone because your voice, every single voice in America is that's ever used as a telephone, cell phone, any phone, is basically captured in the National Security Agency, in their archives. And they have instantaneous ability. Now, think of this, Doug, to basically listen in and know exactly who's talking. I used to have a company 25 years ago called Countermeasures. And that was basically an electronics firm. I just owned the company. And I had a very smart former NSA employee who ran the company. And, you know, looking for bugs, encrypted phones, you had to have two of them. The sender had to put his code, you know, like a handset. I mean, it's way beyond that now. But what was interesting to me is knowing that, and this is what I learned, with every countermeasure, there's a countermeasure. So in essence, there is no perfect solution except when it comes to communications at this point, a one-time pad. A one-time pad, Bob Griswold, when he was live, talked about it, but there's no way to decode a one-time pad. In other words, Doug, I'm sending you a communication. It's only the code is only good for one time. You receive it. You have the pad with the code. After that, there's no more code. I would call it a real-time invisible code. That's kind of simplistic. And I think it's critical that people get their heads out of a self-induced proctological exam. How's that for being tactful? and start understanding what all these things mean. Look at where we're at as a nation. Look at where we're at when we have a Supreme Court. I won't even call her a judge. I won't even call it a judge who couldn't, under oath, being questioned by evidently mindless senators and congressmen or whoever was doing the approval, couldn't tell you what a woman was or couldn't tell you what a man was or wouldn't. Do you know what kind of a signal that sent to the world? I mean, literally?
Yeah.
And yet, ladies and gentlemen, now she's coming up with some of the, nope, forgive me again. I sound like one of those commercials in the old days on TV. But wait, you know, it's something new, something absurd, something out there. So what we're watching, Doug, and trying to get people prepared to is a wake-up call to where we're at now, not where we were, or the process of how we've gotten here, but where we're at right at this moment. And right at this moment, I'm going to just go through a spreadsheet on how close war is in the Middle East. I have been for the last 24 years talking about watch Iran, watch Iran, watch Iran, the most powerful kingdom in the Old Testament in the supernatural realm, two of God's mightiest angels, Michael and Gabriel, fighting with the prince and power of Persia for 21 days to bring Daniel the prophet the message that Daniel was praying and fasting, asking God for. I don't understand why the Lord just doesn't drop it into Daniel's spirit and say, you know, but for some reason, God has his reason, and I don't know how to outguess God, and nor am I trying. But in essence, more water, thank you. The situation in the Middle East is out of hand. The situation of Ukraine is a total train wreck. The United States doesn't have the weapons, the arsenal, and can't even manufacture gunpowder. And this is critical. Hello, you don't go into war having declared war, which U.S. has, on, in essence, China, in essence, Russia, in essence, Iran, North Korea. And by the way, the North Koreans just fielded one of the most sophisticated hypersonic-tipped intercontinental ballistic missiles, and everyone has hypersonic missiles deployed. Russia has fourth generation. India has fourth generation. And now I want to bring in the world war scenario. I'm not just babbling. Doug, it's so hard to not just literally, you know, say, open your eyes. I prayed this morning. I said, God, only you can open the eyes of the people. What they need to do first and foremost is pray and get their hearts right with Jesus. If you have the capability and have the financial ability, then think about this. What is it like when there is no power? What is it like when there is no food? And I want to share this with everybody. The most important expenditure that anybody can make is to make sure your refrigerators and freezers stay online. Because the cost of food to replace it now is the single most expensive item in the American household.
Yep. Yeah, we should be preparing like it's 1850. Okay, that's my view. Go ahead.
And so this is not a skirmish in the Middle East. So I'm going to tell everybody, go please to BeReady123.com. I am a spokesman for that because I believe in it. And again, I have a little bit of bona fides in that realm because I was one of the guys that won less than five that started the PrEP movement, the preparedness movement that you see today. And so, you know, BeReady123.com and and by the way, forget the little ones. They won't run your fridge. But get the biggest ones you can afford. And remember this, you absolutely must protect your food. These are all chargeable by solar. BeReady123.com. And it's critical right now because, look, the talk of EMPs, the talk electromagnetic pulse, the talk of thermonuclear war, the talk is going to absolutely take action. I don't know when, but I can tell you this, that according to information coming out, you know, from sources all over, East and everything, BeReady123.com. It is the most important aspect of your being. I put up a study of how many people freaked out when they had to go into my brother Bobby said it to me. How many people started losing it, Doug, when they went into a cave and just to prove to somebody what utter darkness looks like, and they obviously had flashlights, and then everybody was in a safe spot, and the gentleman or person leading the cave expedition said, now I want everyone to turn off their lights. Well, reluctantly, everyone did. Within a matter of minutes, people started to lose it. Within minutes, Doug.
Oh, yeah.
Within minutes. And so, you know, a church that's let its light go out. I remember the song. I didn't go through Sunday school, but I remember hearing it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, you know?
Yep.
Where is the light of the world? It's Jesus. Where are his people? They didn't want to put any light in the darkness because those who love the Lord, those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, let me tell you what the scripture says, that the man whom the Lord, woman, redeemed, who has been redeemed by the Lord, say so, declare so. Yet we have, what is that called? Silly putty, okay? Or we have slinkies that want to stay nameless and don't want to, ruffle anything, let alone their quote, invisibility on the net. Well, let me tell you guys, everything we do, everything we track, everything we view, I mean, the AI programs are going over time on this. I mean, they run all the time, night and day, supercomputers. So there is no such thing as anonymity. But again, I want people to understand that the United States has run out of munitions. Our nuclear weapons have not been functionally tested in the field. Our nuclear warheads and the maintenance that's required on the electronics and everything in the silos and the command, control, and communication, which is known as C3, none of that is even been considered under the current administrations. And it goes all the way back pretty much to, even prior to Obama, to Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
And so where we're at right now, that we are at a flashpoint, and I don't know anything faster than flashpoint. We are at a lightning point. We are at a lightning strike away. So how does the United States make war? And here, if I can make one statement, Doug, I pray that God makes so real to everybody. These are the devils working through their human puppets that want to bring about the total extinction of mankind, the apathy, the indifference, the lack of care, concern. Hey, I don't care about Kiev or Kiev. I always thought it was Kiev. I've been corrected. It's Kiev. It sounds better.
Well, actually, it's Kiev, unless you're the Ukrainian Victoria Nuland, then it's Kiev. Okay, it became Kiev after all this cluster crap that.
Yep.
Yeah, but whatever you do, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess that's my pet peeve, that it's Kiev and not Kiev. I mean, chicken Kiev, a dish. It sounds stupid if you say chicken Kiev, It just doesn't even have the nice ring. But here's where we're at. The infuriation of Israel. And listen, this is no religious context, about making statements to kill every man, woman, and child in Gaza is wrong. And yet Christians were silent. Yet God, glory to his name, he's sending his angels into Gaza. Jesus is giving, hundreds of Muslim men at the same time the vision. They're turning their hearts to Jesus. But the church is silent. The third temple is heralded, the ashes of the red heifer, all that. By the way, the ashes of the red heifer, when they slaughter the first red heifer, it will be done in secret because, in essence, I saw some screwy guy saying, they're going to do the sacrifice. They're going to, sacrifice the red heifer, and they're going to bulldoze the Dome of the Rock. How is that going to even be possible? I mean, it's improbable, especially now. We're seeing this is all open intelligence. We're seeing that basically Israel's out of bombs. We're seeing that we in the United States can't produce effective missile interceptors. We can go from Patriot 1, 2, 3, and 4s, and yet hypersonic missiles trump, I mean, they're out ahead of everything. We, ladies and gentlemen, according to weapons designers I've talked to, some anonymously, their statement is the United States can never catch up. Make America great again. Well, I'm grateful that Make America Pray Again, but I pray for that there would be repentance. Make America repent again. But there's no talk of repentance. And that's what's puzzling. And this is what will, let me just figure these three things out or share these three things, okay? Smart bombs, this is really important, and rockets all depend on GPS. We've watched GPS being taken down over all of Eastern Europe. The Russians have full-scale electronic warfare dominance. Why do I say this? Because basic reading of Sun Tzu, T-Z-U, Sun Tzu, is the plan of warfare that the war colleges used to basically teach the cadets instead of how to put on your makeup and, what lace to put on your mankini. I'm sorry, you guys, but even now West Point has gone woke. So How do you, as an American, who assume there's a military that can defend you, but wait a minute, they just called you and 72 other categories of people, from Christians, from constitutionalists, anybody that isn't for globalism is an enemy of the state. So smart bombs and rockets all depend on GPS. I want to stick to my list here. The timing of Iran's attack on Israel is the tactic to keep your enemy, Iran's enemy. Look, I'm not an apologist for Iran, but what I'm saying is this. They dug. It's not you and I coming up with, oh, crazy conspiracy theories that will cause me to be, oh, that's just fear porn. No, they said, Iran said they're going to pay Israel back. Is that an accurate statement?
Absolutely. In fact, there it was more detailed in a couple of, I don't want to say parliamentary speeches, but yes, absolutely.
Well, so, you know, again, next thing on the list, you know, understand Israel declared war against Iran, or let me put it into biblical terms, against Persia, against the prince of Persia. But you see, the contemporary evangelifish world of evangelifishianity, and I've got a new word, you're going to love it, okay? And it's same thing, evangeliland, okay? Evangeliland, where this can't happen because we've been told that we're all out of here. Well, ask yourself this. Are you out of here at the point, as I told you, oh, I don't believe you. Don't. But a Zechariah 14:12 moment awaits those who have lived in denial. Ladies and gentlemen, please understand, if God will plead with the nations, please with them. From Dimitri Dudeman's vision so many years ago, Henry Groover, all the visions. What was interesting to me is the fact that, ladies and gentlemen, we are now watching the, if you will, project, and this is what's astonishing to me, we're watching some of the old named operations bring about World War III in total minute-by-minute detail. And so, Doug, we have the limited amount of time that God's given us to wake up the most amount of humans that will listen to us. And the only word I know now, it's not, you know, people say, oh, there's going to be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Show me that in Scripture. Show it to me. When there's no repentance, when the nation mocks God, when there's silence in I got another one now. Instead of the sold-out pulpits that won't even name the name of Jesus, I call them weasel podiums, okay? W-E-A-S-E-L, weasel podiums. The only reason I have to make up these names is because I don't know any way, you know, I can't throw my glass of cold water on the screen. It doesn't work. But the point is that, ladies and gentlemen, what happens when you have that lucid moment when you realize it's on? Go ahead, Doug. I'm going to sneeze. Go ahead and take it.
Wow. Well, folks, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com is my guest. And now a couple of things, Steve, because we're talking about Israel. You have been talking about Israel. If I can just ask you, especially with respect to Israel versus Hamas, Biden, of course, today, supposedly there was a telephone conversation, or was scheduled, where Biden was going to be a little, or dressed down Bibi Netanyahu. Why is there such animosity against Israel, given when you consider what happened? Look, I get what happened on the 7th, and I mean, it was a horrific, so horrific. Everything was so horrific. And I do understand that even the innocent in Gaza are being killed, which is just absolutely, it's horrendous. But there is this hatred. Look, I don't want to see anyone die from war in Gaza or Israel. But there's a reality here where you've got Hamas, the leadership of Hamas, and really a majority of people in Gaza supporting Hamas and providing them aid and comfort. So I guess, yeah, I don't even know if you want to touch that, but how do you balance that out, Steve? Are we not called upon to support Israel? And that's a real question. That's not a hypo. I mean, I'm asking, are we not supposed to support Israel? Or is this not the Israel that was?
I'm not chicken to deal with it, but like I said, Doug,
it's too deep. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Is my mic on?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. First of all, Isaac Jacob, his name was changed to Israel. Israel, or Jacob, had 12 sons, okay? And the 12 sons of Israel so who is Israel, okay? But let me share this. There's the Torah observant Jewish people, and there's the Talmudic Jewish people. The Talmudic Jewish people are into a form of basically exclusivity, and the things they say about the Goy, G-O-Y, any non-Jew, is absolutely horrific. But what they say about Jesus is more horrific. Talmudism came in during the Babylonian captivity. So, Doug, bless those.
That's a huge topic, and I apologize for even asking that, because we would have to devote like a day to discuss.
Yeah, and here's the thing: I refuse to deal with that except to say what I'm saying now. If God said that in essence, Israel that you're talking about, Doug, as you define it, know it, is going to accept the Antichrist until he, God, literally, supernaturally, and again, I don't know how he's going to do it, he's God, takes the veils and scales off their eyes and heart, okay? Because the devil wants to be worshipped. The ultimate insult to God in the devil's mind is to get the chosen people, this is their term, not mine. Chosen, by the way, doesn't mean elevated above others, as the Talmudic Jews teach. It means set apart. And when the set apart people of God that had received his blessings, miracles, and provision, when they absolutely sinned against God, and by the way, idol worship originated with them. Abraham's father was an idol maker. And the story of Abraham is totally different than what most people think. By the way, there were no Jews when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldeans.
Yes.
So I'll just say this. Your question is based on and I mean this, it is so confusing. Who are the Jews? Who are real Jews? Real Jews are the descendants, okay, of Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob obviously had 12 sons. The 12 tribes of Israel, all of them, they were dispersed all over the world. So the point that I think people have got to understand is this. Anyone, and this is aimed at you, Doug, but it's true. Anybody that looks at just the Jewish issue is not seeing the big picture, because they misquote that scripture. God said, in Abraham will all the nations of the world be blessed, okay?
I think that explanation is fantastic for the time. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Because, yeah, that's fine. And forgive me again for going there. But I know there are people out there who, there's this absolute, we've got to blame Israel. We've got to blame the Jews. We've got to blame Hamas. We've got to, and they're so dogmatic. Everyone is so dogmatic, and everyone is so cocksure of themselves, okay?
Sure. But again, you've got obviously the battle going back to the twins in the womb. You have, you have Ishmael. You see, that's just too big a subject. Yeah. So I share this. Considering all of that, the people that focus that are missing the big picture. The big picture is Iran is going to strike Israel. The people that believe God's going to defend Israel, the nation that is not the full Israel of God, you know, I mean, you're going to watch, in my opinion, thousands upon thousands of missiles rain down upon Israel. They do not have enough aero systems or Patriot system, missile system, anti-missile systems that can intercept it. And people are going to say, where is God? Well, that's the chosen land. It's going to, how should I say this, shock people into reality. It's just like people think here in America, we're not going to get touched. The Russians have made it clear. I think this, President Putin, now let me ask you this, whose side would God be on of those defending the family he created, man and woman, children, the Orthodox religion, Jesus Christ is Lord, the man who absolutely is saying to his country, don't touch the children with your LGBTQ. The man who's exporting, deporting, getting rid of the migrant invasion into Russia, all the values that nations used to stand for, see, it's inverted. We used to say that's communist Russia, and I'm no apologist, but I will say this. I pay attention to what they say, because when you've got Ignoria Nuland, when you've got Victoria Nuland having said what she said prior to the Moscow attack, before she got her walking papers, she got kicked out of her job. The whole issue is this: Russia, Western values, they've come to the conclusion communism, Marxism didn't work. What's America doing? Marxism, communism, call it what it is, it's destroyed the country. The woke folk, the broke folk, the racial strife, the absolute nation rising against nation in Greek. Ethnos against ethnos. There is no cohesiveness. We sat by and allowed the bastards. The bastards are the fallen angel offspring that God called in the book of Enoch. We watched literally a strange event take over. That strange event was the dispossession, and I'm talking about, of the nation from its, as Michael Savage said, borders, language, culture. I would add its heritage, its constitution, its heroes, and any commemoration of how great this nation was, all gone because the people who claimed to be believers, they were silent. And I remember, Doug, 20, 30 years ago, I know it sounds like an old guy's thing, but I remember saying this. I said, America's tombstones will read, apathy destroyed America. Indifference destroyed America. Carelessness destroyed America. And you know what I say? I got to tell you this. I talk to people, not by choice, but sometimes I have to in different situations, who are so oblivious that World War III is underway, that think that the military is going to defend them. And Biden, why is Biden now flip-flopping? Because it's an election year. But I want to make it clear to everybody, I don't believe there will be an election. And now I want to deal with the whole thing about ELE. ELE, E-L-E, is an extinction level event. The extinction level event has propped up in the background of all of the talk about the comet coming in, April 8th, all of the planets lighting up, the four planets lining up, not all of them, on in that time period. The Devil's Comet coming. All of that talk now is centering, and it's interesting, it started over Nineveh. And Nineveh are the different Nineveh cities in the different states that the eclipse passes. And it starts in Mexico and goes up to Maine. But then the fact that Jonah, Texas, and I'm saying to God, God, what happens if nothing happens? I'm sure some of you are thinking that too. What happens if nothing happens? What happens if everybody's thinking this, but Lord, there's something more sinister going on? And so if your country's destroyed by an asteroid or parts of it, that's in the background. If observatories are being told they can't make anything public, there are public telescopes that can be looking in specific directions. But is this a generated, how do I say this, psyop based on real astronomical events that is being used, Doug, for something even more nefarious? So that would be a man-created extinction level event. One thing I've learned about the Lord is when things happen, it's not expected. God brings it from his realm. We're looking over to the left. It comes from the right. We're looking to our right. It comes from the left. We're looking up. It comes from under us. We're looking down. It comes from on top of us. So that's what I call a God-level event. Are we looking at a God-level event? Is April 8th the trigger date for when everything is fired? Is April 8th the time to start of official nuclear war? America's already been notified by Russia that they know we're behind. They know we're behind, and we're behind the Nord Stream pipeline. That's a given. They know we were behind the whole Crocus terrorist attack. They know that the United States has declared war on them through NATO as a surrogate. Heck, even the dumbest people in America are starting to see that, I hope. And now what do we have? We have a nation at war within itself. We've got racial strife like it never existed until the Obama nation of desolation came in. We've got the strangest mindsets out there that are claiming, well, we can't. You've got to have what, 31 flavors or of different. You can be whatever you want to be. That's an army motto. I guess it really explains why the LGBTQXYZ. And look, here's the thing: we, the majority of Americans, are told we're crazy, we're racist, we're bigots by a bunch of people that's not this big, but this big. Yet it was put into motion by the community organizers under Barack Hussein Obama, not his real name, but anyway, the bottom line is, and is Obama the candidate for the most likely visible at this point, Antichrist? Well, and let's just say this, there's more evidence to that than against that. And most people don't understand that isn't a black statement, that isn't a racist statement, that is a historic, realistic statement, because he made this, his own words, America's the greatest nation in the world. We intend to change all that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's happened. America, he also said, is no longer a Christian nation. That America has now happened. So, Doug, if I asked you, define what an American is to go beyond what it means to you to be, but what does it mean to be an American to the rest of the world?
Yeah, wow. I know how I would answer that as an American, but I don't think that can be answered given the state of America. If that makes sense to you, we are so divided in this country. If you ask, I don't know, Adam Schiff, what it means to be an American versus somebody on the far right, what it means to be American, I believe it would be tremendous. The answers would be tremendously different. So I'm not sure how you would want me to answer that, or how anyone would answer that given today's environment. That's all I'm going to say.
And that's my point, and you just made my point. The thing is that as people that used to have an identity, there was no modifier in front of it. Afro-American, Chinese-American, there was nothing. An American was something that was so amazing because it didn't matter where people came from. It was that when they came here, they were coming to the land of freedom. They were coming to a land of opportunity. They were coming from some of the most brutal dictatorships in the world to a land where there was some like equal justice under the law. They were coming to a place where a man could determine his fate by his hard work, by his labor, and he could build he could have a family, he could have a home. And now look at what's happened to even the American dream. It's turned into a nightmare. It's turned into a nightmare. I'll give you another good example. France says they're going to basically go to war with Russia. 284 nuclear weapons, some hydrogen bombs, against Russia, who's got close to 7,000 hypersonic missiles, which, by the way, France does not have. And one of the most interesting things I thought is, look, in France, they have the River Seine, S-E-I-N-E. Maybe they need to call it the River Insane because, and it's spelled differently, insane, but the futility of saying to a world superpower, who, by the way, has 25% of the world's water, who, by the way, due to all the sanctimonious sanctions against them, have only thrived. By the way, they have a president who has basically said, on a world basis, we're going to set up equal just weights and measures. That is a God point. By the way, we're going to declare our stand for families. So the world is turned upside down. So when I hear mindless burbs saying, oh, you're a Russian agent. No, I'm not. I'm trying to say, where are the peacemakers based on the word of God? I don't want World War III. I'm asking people of God to take an account of it. But here's the deal. I believe God gave us space to repent as a nation. I believe America will not repent. There's no cry. Do you think Joel Osteen or, Stephen Furtick, God, those are just two guys I know, or any of the big name evangelists with 25,000, 50,000, no, they're not evangelists, they're pastors. Do you think they're going to call? Do you think they're going to tell their congregation, go out and buy some food? You know, hey, things could get tough. No. And you know why they won't, Doug? They don't want money going into preparation of the people because they want it all going into the coffers and the pots. Does that understand? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All that negative talk is bad for business.
Yep. Yep. And so this is why, again, our new film, it's in production right now. The trailer's in edit, and it's in a mind-boggling thing. Well, I'll just wet everyone's whistle. A lot of people say, what's that Glyph project worth anyway? Well, here's the deal. One of the oldest stargates has been found, and you're going to love it, in Uzbekistan. Around that gate are a bunch of, glyphs that predate the creation of Adam and Eve. Those glyphs are being translated right now. The title, the whole title of the film, it's astonishing because it's literally Earth in the Crosshairs and the multidimensional war on the human race. And what's astonishing is 1903. Now, Doug, to me, that sounds like a year, that's almost like what, 126 years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is.
Roughly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen.
If my math is correct, I'm.
Yeah. 97. So, how is it that today Doug and I are speaking on the Hagman Report about a Stargate found in Uzbekistan. But interestingly enough, some of those glyphs match the artifacts that we've been spending years on digging out of the ground, unearthing in Mexico. And how is it that there's a central theme? And I'm not ready to present it yet, and I'll present it first on your show, Doug, because, again, it's important that people understand. Those have been with us. I want to thank you. I just want to thank you so much for the praying for us. For those of you who have bought the DVDs, who have attended Branson conferences, who support Doug, support me. But ladies and gentlemen, it's one thing to go up against a lion like that, unless you've got the power of God, let alone a whole pride of lions. You're probably not going to come out, in one piece. But taking on this project, and I believe I was led there by the Lord, the Glyph Project, to combine all of the known symbols into a database. And I am not a computer guy. I just want everybody should know that by now. But God provided a team. Everyone I don't know except one contact point in order for their safety. I learned the hard way years ago, and by the grace of God, I'll never do it again. Do not take the bait. Well, who do you, what I'm saying? Because I got tired of the same old harpies from hell complaining, but I won't do it. But to say this, I don't understand, and I really don't. I don't understand how people who are into the ancient astronauts, or into the UFOs, who are into all this stuff, who don't recognize the nature of the deception that's already implanted and impregnated into the American, or the global, that's a better word, a global audience that are believing that the aliens created us. I sat down at lunch with a guy, and I had to explain to him the difference between, he said, well, I believe in God. I believe in the Prometheus factor. I said, not wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Prometheus is that the aliens seeded the planet, and that we are the stars. In essence, we are the offspring of the star gods. Wrong. Every single thing that we're doing on the Glyph Project points to what's going on right now. The ones were being translated. I'll give you a good example. The Chinese language has 126,000 characters.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You know how many we have? And by the way, there's multiple choices on that. Some people, oh, it's only 110. No, it's 146,000. Let me say this. China has one of the most pronounced histories of innovation and invention of any nation in the world. They obviously gunpowder. I can't resist. That should make everybody kind of explode with a little bit of understanding. The Chinese consider themselves the children of the dragon. China had a race of red-haired giants. China has the biggest pyramids in the world, even bigger than Giza, but that they were covered up after they were spotted in World War II by the flying tigers flying over that part of China, the Chinese mainland. They have advanced technology and reverse engineering of some of the most advanced technology that even the West doesn't know exists. Well, how can you know it then? Simple. Because God enables people that know to tell me what I need to know to warn you. And Doug, I'm just saying this. The Glyph Project was the biggest undertaking in my life. And I don't want it to end up taking my life, not because I'm afraid they're going to kill me. My time is in the Lord's hands. But and I'm not crying the blues. It takes a toll on you emotionally. It takes a toll on you physically. Obviously, the ramifications, and when I say this, the ramifications, if I see what it can do to myself and some of the other people working on the project, it's like opening Pandora's box, wanting to put all the evil that's being loose, that's being defined and and told, you know, it's kind of like bragging rights for fallen angels and demons, you know?
Yeah.
They always refer to stupid humans. That's really an interesting thing. Their contempt for humanity must be a mirror to the majesty of what God did when he created Adam and Eve, Adam in his image and likeness, and gave us, as his first creation, the power to procreate. Not create in the Latin, which is what, ex nihilo or ex nihilo, means out of nothing,
right,
but out of something. And now we see the very foundation of God being attacked. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus loves you. It's later than you think. Repent, 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 and give your heart to him while there's still time.
Steve, thanks for an excellent program. God bless you, my friend. Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. Steve, thank you, my friend.